Hello, my friend. This is Dan Riley, and I'm so glad to be able to take some time with you. A little while as Greg Lecamelli and I from our mountain community want to continue to extend a walk, a wandering, an adventure with you in the good news. The good news that comes to us, and let me share it with you first from a reading from Ephesians. It's through these days, and I began the other day by celebrating the Ascension of the Lord, typically celebrated on Ascension Thursday, thus a Thursday in many churches, dioceses in America, maybe other parts of the world, it's celebrated on Sunday. So we've got three whole days, and actually I started on Wednesday to open our hearts to the consciousness of this God who has come among us as the babe of Bethlehem, who walked among us, taught us good news, who just entered, who entered deeply into the life of the world, into the life of humankind, in the life of a very painful time in human history, as God does now today. The Ascension and each mystery of our Christian faith, if you're Christian, you would know as I might say it, you might experience it as I do, that it's God's entrance now into our lives. God's presence immediately to us. And the Ascension, somewhat paradoxically, is exactly that. So let's hear a little bit about it. Let's open to the beautiful reading from Ephesians 1, 17 to 23.
I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Hope here is that prophetic reality of God's presence breaking out in a new way now. It isn't beyond the moment, but it isn't something we see. And in the Feast of the Ascension, we might be standing there with the others if we have this physical sense of Jesus rising, ascending, and say, where'd he go? What happened? There is this sense of immediacy of apparent disappearance, but rather it's a wonderful way in which a story is told of Christ's emergence from this immediate experience in his resurrection to his place where he is exalted and enthroned, big words, glorified, another big word, in God's power and might, his Son, one with the Father and the Spirit. And soon, of course, we're going to celebrate what we call the birth of the church, the birthday of the church, the coming of the Spirit, the breath, the fire of God that Jesus sent to us remains here now. So there's this rich, rich reality that there's a hope for us, but the eyes of our hearts need to open, because otherwise we could be standing here, as we hear in the Acts, with these other people who are saying, where'd he go? In fact, we stand in a world that maybe sometimes wonders, did he even come? Was he ever here? Is he or she with me now? Is the one who promised in different traditions to remain present to us. Beautiful thing in the Acts 1:1-11, two men dressed in white garments, so you can imagine. I'm going to pick them out as some sort of beautiful witnesses. They're not named as angels, but they seem to be, because they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven." So there's this imagining ability, if our eyes of our heart are open to two people, or at least one, or the witness maybe of a whole crowd, or someone right now saying, why are you just standing there looking at the sky, looking up into the heavens, looking at vastness? Well, there might be a good answer to that. God truly has received his Son in the vastness of glory. This is a beautiful day here. Bright blue sky, glorious sunlight. It's an amazing moment. It's like being in heaven. Heaven both as the paradiso, the garden, and the vastness of all. Christ resides there in power and in glory. And also in our hearts, though, we hear. The wonderful followers of Jesus were always stumbling, as I do, an awful lot, and I find it more and more, unfortunately, these days in my own life. And I always seek and pray for God's forgiveness for me and that I might be more forgiving of others as well. Jesus, it looks at us as women and men who doubt. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. Jesus was there on the mountain in Galilee where all this began in Matthew's gospel. It's symbolic of the beginning and now the end. And in that moment of doubt, he approaches them. He comes closer. His intimacy, we say here, then Jesus approached them and said to them, "All power in heaven on earth." So this exaltedness, this glory of him, his very self, has been given to me. And then he turns to us, or he's looking at us now. And if the eyes of our hearts are open, we see him. And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And behold, I'm with you always." I'm with you always. I'm with you always until the end of the age.
The Lord, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world.
I, the Lord, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world.
This God who has come to us remains with us. This God who has entered into the vastness of God's power and might, this Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, who from the beginning was loved and longed for, and we in this Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being for the beginning, are now approached by Jesus and this Christ, this risen one, now ascended, and then we're sent right back into the world. And Ephesians invites us, Paul does there, to open the eyes of our hearts in hope. We may say the hope that we can approach others, the hope that we can go as Jesus has commissioned us to greet others with the abiding presence of God, the promise that he won't leave us no matter what's going on. He remains with us. You see, you and I share that glory, and we might remember Irenaeus' remarks about that. The glory of God is a human person fully alive. It isn't limited to the risen, ascended, and now present Christ, but Christ approaches us, has brought us into, we in his dying and rising share that glory, and now our co-mission to go out to others with our daily activities and whatever we might do with that very same promise of presence, of love and glory. And so, my sisters and brothers, my good friends, let us again just hear that line or two from Ephesians and possibly take a little quiet where you are. As I stumble excitedly through this reflection with you, I'm called myself again to the gentleness of these words, but the boldness of the truth that we have been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of Christ. So may the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, the riches of glory among the holy ones for us who believe. Treasure this as a promise. Walk in it now as you're commissioned. Believe that you and I are sent into the world. Glory be to God. Glory be to the world, abiding where God is, in the heart of God, as Christ, abides in our hearts now. Peace with you, my friend. Enjoy the brilliant blue sky of this day and the body warmth of God's presence, the power to bring healing and peace to others.